In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The whole life of Jesus points to this one week. In fact, if you take a look at all four of the Gospels, things move at a very rapid pace all the way up until you get to this point where Jesus enters into Jerusalem. And then the pace slows way down, almost like a donkey plodding along, carrying a very heavy burden in the midst of a great crowd of people. Before his birth, the angel told his father Joseph that the child was to be named Jesus, for he would save his people from their sins. He was baptized by John at the Jordan River, and he did not do this in order to receive his own forgiveness of sins, but in order that he might fulfill the righteousness of all those who are baptized into him. He cast out demons, he healed the sick, and even raised the dead, all while proclaiming the gospel to poor, miserable sinners. All of this, all of the life of Christ, all of world's history, however, comes down to this one great week. As our text picks up with the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, we are invited to participate in this moment of Christ's life. We have here the palms, we've sung our hosannas, and armed with these things, let us place ourselves in the midst of the Palm Sunday crowds as we go up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover of God. Today we see Jesus as he comes to Jerusalem to offer himself for our salvation. It was just last Thursday that our Lord spent the night in the home of the tax collector Zacchaeus. On Friday, Jesus continued his journey on toward Jerusalem with throngs of pilgrims who were going up to celebrate this great feast. Sometime in the afternoon, he stopped in the small town of Bethany, just 2 miles away from Jerusalem, to spend the Sabbath day with his dear friends. It was there that we witnessed Jesus raising Lazarus to life again after having been dead in the tomb for 4 whole days. In order to celebrate the new life of their brother, Mary and Martha made a great supper feast in the home of Simon the leper. Do you remember the fragrant oil that she used to anoint our Savior's feet? It was then that he said something about how this was to prepare him for burial. What could that possibly mean? As we finally left Bethany to head toward Jerusalem for the Passover, an even greater crowd joined us. Many of them wanted to see the man who raised Lazarus from the dead, but even more wanted to see Lazarus himself, the one who was dead but now lived again. There was even a group in from Jerusalem that they came to see if Lazarus really was alive. Are these reports true? They didn't seem very happy with Jesus or Lazarus. And they were over in the corner, if you remember, plotting something. I think they wanted to get rid of both Lazarus and Jesus. And now the crowd is even larger than ever. We're all pressing in as close as we can to Jesus. This Passover seems like it has much more significance and weight than anyone that we've ever celebrated before. The news has gone ahead of us to Jerusalem. Jesus is coming. As the procession with Jesus at the head left Bethany, another crowd came in from Jerusalem to meet us. What's this? Jesus has sent two of his disciples ahead to get a donkey and a colt that are tied somewhere in the city. How did he know that they would be there? No matter. He laid his cloaks on them and he sat down on the animal. Jesus there on the colt reminds me of the stories I've heard of King Solomon at his coronation in Jerusalem. Didn't the prophet Zechariah also say something about this? Say to the daughter of Zion, Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. Some of the crowd are cutting palm branches and throwing them in the road before him like we'd roll out the red carpet for a visiting king. Did you get one? As the excitement builds, some begin to sing from the Psalms, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Could this man, could this Jesus be the Son of David who has come to save us from sin and death? And the answer, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is yes. This Jesus is the long-promised Son of David. He is the one spoken of by the prophet Zechariah in our readings today. He is the righteous one who comes to bring his righteousness to his people. And it was meet, right, and salutary for the people to sing Hosanna, that Hebrew word that means save us now, to their King Jesus. With all the pomp and circumstance, the palms and the extra services that we will have this week, it's tempting to think that we are simply participating in some sort of historical reenactment of the life of Jesus in this last week. It may even make us feel closer to Jesus if we imagine ourselves following him through all the events of the last week of his earthly life before his crucifixion. But truly, truly, I say to you, nothing could be farther from the truth. We are not simply reenacting the last life of Jesus as if it were some sort of passion play that we are invited to participate in. Far from it. Recall the promises of Jesus. You confirmation students, recall the promises of Jesus that have been taught to you these last several years. Remember that Jesus has promised that wherever two or three are gathered in his name, there he is among them. You are the baptized children of God. You are gathered here in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus also promised us to be with us through his word. He says of the apostles, he who hears you, hears me. And even more mysteriously, God joins our prayers and praises with the Palm Sunday pilgrims as we sing Hosanna in the highest, with all of the angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven as we laud and magnify our glorious Lord and his name. But most wonderfully of all, after we sing these words, our Lord Jesus Christ comes to us in the flesh. He no longer rides among us on a donkey, but now, today, he comes to us under the forms of bread and wine in his Holy Supper. And you, dear catechumens, you will take your rightful place among those whose tongues sing the praises of your Lord, even as today he places himself upon your tongue for the very first time today. This is a joyous time for you to stand at this altar to confess the faith once delivered to the saints. For now, you are made partakers in this divine drama. This day and this week are not mere symbols to help us remember Christ's suffering and death. But through the hearing of his word, Christ sustains the faith that was delivered to you in your baptism by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he created it in you in baptism. By feeding you his true body and blood, he forgives you your sins and teaches you that the only true joy and comfort that may be found in this sin-weary world is in him. This week, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you are not mere observers of the events of Christ's life. but by the power of his word and by his very presence among you in the sacrament, Jesus brings you the benefit of his suffering and death on the cross forward to this day and this week. Let us then lay aside all distractions as we move into Holy Week this year. The devil and our sinful flesh will throw all kinds of obstacles in our way in order to prevent us from hearing God's word and receiving his gifts. But the writer of Hebrews says this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." This morning, as we sing our hosannas to the Lord, we recall that that word means, "Save us now, O Lord." And so Jesus responds. We cry out, "Hosanna, save us now." And he gives us his very body and blood under the bread and wine to destroy sin and death. We cry out, "Hosanna, save us now, O Lord." And he lays down his life for us at the cross in order to destroy our death forever. We cry out, "Hosanna, save us now." And Jesus takes up his life again on the third day in order that we too, on the last day, would be raised from the dead. This week, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is what being a Christian is all about. Being a Christian means that we are to take up our crosses and follow after Jesus. And you, dear catechism students, will soon learn that those crosses may at times be very heavy. They cause pain, and crosses are used to put us to death. But as you follow Christ through this week and beyond, even to your own grave, you will also learn to trust in him above all things. Yes, this road that we are all marching on does lead us to the cross and to death. But for those who suffer all, even death, the resurrection to eternal life waits on the last day. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.